Grow Great is a city government leadership podcast with Lisa Norris and me, Randy Cantrell. Each week we share insights, experiences, and wisdom to help you and your leadership grow great. Our website is growgreat.com.
Okay, we're finally going to wrap this up, Lisa. Part seven of our seven part series of these are the challenges of
dangerous enemies.
Yeah, so. To be fair, there are so many enemies of leadership, but we've kind of politely, professionally plagiarized this from Victoria Repa. There's a link in the show notes to her post, which is where we saw this chart. And so Lisa and I just kind of began having conversations about it. But we're up to number seven. Fear of losing authority drives leaders to be overly authoritarian, rigid, and demanding. This is easy for me because I started out working for tyrants. And I would say mostly I worked for tyrants. it was the tyranny that drove me to want authority and whatever powers associated with that. Not to be overly authoritarian, not to be rigid, to be demanding. To be demanding of extraordinary customer service, of excellence, of just being as great as we can be, but not being demanding, you know, in my sensibilities, not in a negative way. And I just knew what tyranny looked like. I knew what power-hungry, mostly men, because that was my experience. And I saw the outcome of that. I saw the toll that that took on me as an employee. I saw the toll that that took on my coworkers. And I knew as a group, and I knew as individuals, come on, we came to work every day. We wanted to do good work. I didn't know anybody that wanted to come to work and be bad.
Yeah.
I didn't know anybody because we're selling stereo equipment. We're working for mostly straight commission. Well, nobody wanted to come to work and fail. I mean, if you came to work every day, then you're not making any money. I mean, yeah.
Didn't wake up and say, man, I hope I just sucked today at work.
Yeah, no.
That's going to be a good day.
I kept thinking about that. And of course, I largely was working for owners. Right. So I don't know that they had any fear of losing authority, but they behaved as though they did. You know, they were very autocratic, which is kind of a my way or the highway kind of thinking. And aside from the personality types, and there is something to that, and I would go ahead and preface by saying, whatever your style is, don't get fixated and think, well, there's a style. There's a particular style that I need to mirror. There's a lot of different ways to do this.
Right. There's a lot of different ways to lead that are successful.
Exactly.
That's right.
I think we do have to be... We have to be true to who we are. Here's the danger in making that statement is I think so many people just use that as a cop-out. Well, that's just who I am, as though you can't change some aspects of who you are. Mm-hmm. Can you be better? I mean, the person that says, well, you know, telling the truth's just hard for me. Okay, yeah. Hard or not, get over it. Start telling the truth, you know, be honest.
Right. It's kind of like when you and I talk about how we're wired. We understand how we're wired. And we know that's our natural style, but you can tweak it from a leadership perspective and adapt that to your needs of your team.
You have
to understand how you're built.
Yeah, but some people rely on, well, that's how I'm wired.
That's their excuse.
I'm not sure. I don't know that you're wired to be a tyrant. I mean, you may be, I guess. Fear of losing authority. I have found that if you throw an ounce of power on the floor and there are two or more people in the room, they will fight for it. That's just my experience. The irony is my life's experience is the fighting for it rarely works. Mm-hmm. It may work in the short term, because we're talking about leadership. And that metaphor that we all know, even if we haven't watched the TV show, eventually you get voted off the island.
That's exactly what I was going to go.
They just vote you off the island because I had an old man tell me years ago, he said, Randy, people decide who they're going to follow.
Mm-hmm. And you don't and have to even have to tell them your title.
No.
They don't care.
No.
They follow based on character.
That's right. So you and I talk a lot about influence, and one of our definitions of leadership includes influence, i.e. positive influence. And that doesn't have anything to do with authority. In fact, the interesting thing is the way you and I define leadership, authority is nowhere mentioned in there. Title is nowhere mentioned in there. Power is nowhere mentioned in there. You know, it's influence. It's a focus on others, and it's doing for others what they can't do for themselves. Not because they're idiots or stupid. My crude metaphor is somebody walks in the room, a guy walks in the room, and his fly's open. Am I going to tell him? Is he stupid? No, he's not stupid. He just doesn't know. Yeah, I'm going to tell him. I'm going to spare him the embarrassment. I'm going to do for him what in this moment he can't do for himself because he's right. not aware. He's not aware of it.
Right.
So none of those three things have anything to do with authority. So it's kind of fascinating to me how much people want it. I'll just speak for myself. I wanted it, I believe, for all the right reasons. I wanted it because I wanted to make sure I could protect people from tyranny because mm-hmm. I had experienced it. So it's like, I know what that looks like and what that feels like. And if I'm going to protect people the way I want to protect people, if I'm going to serve the way I really want to serve, I need to be in charge. Mm-hmm. I need to be in charge so that that doesn't happen. And now I need to protect myself and make sure that I'm listening to other people. We talked about lack of self-development the last episode. Now I need to surround myself with people that'll tell me the truth, with people that'll call me on my stuff, which is really, really hard. And if you've got fear of losing authority, you're not going to do that. And you may have heard that old story. I don't know if it's true or not, but the way to trap a monkey is put a peanut in a bottle. The monkey can get his hand in the bottle, but when he grabs the peanut and they just tie a rope to the bottle, they don't ever have to catch. They don't have to do anything with the monkey. Monkey sticks his hand in, grabs the peanut, makes a fist. Well, he can't get his fist out.
And he won't let go of the peanut.
He will not let go of the peanut. And so he's trapped.
And so he keeps looking at it like, well, now what?
Yeah, so he's trapped. And fear of losing authority, I think, with leaders is, I think that's a perfect metaphor for it. They grab it, and the more tightly that you hold on to it, the more you're trapped. And the more you lose the authority and the power that you thought you had to begin with.
Yeah, to your point, I have seen this play out over and over. And it's interesting because at lower levels, I've seen people work themselves out of the organization. Because at lower levels, it can appear as drive, motivation, improvement, a strong performer, because they keep going up. Yeah, mm-hmm. They keep going up. But the higher you go, the more obvious and detrimental that trait becomes. Because people start acknowledging it. And then when you have to be in control of everything, the focus, I've seen it, the focus often turns to self. Look at me. Look what I should be. I should have more. I should have more
credit and all the rest of
credit. I should be more included. I should be in the room. You know, I'm not included in the room. And look what I could do if I could be included at my level. And I've seen that over and over.
Yeah,
I've seen it go to command and control.
Right.
So if I'm going to make it obvious that you should include me, and I'm going to command my staff, and I'm going to tell them what to do, and I'm going to tell you what you shouldn't do. And at some point that works you out because you're no longer listening. You're so focused on yourself for what you believe to be added value and what you believe the company should see as your value that you lose sight of what's in front of you and the need is right now. It all turns to self-focus, and that destroys. I've seen it over and over and over, and it just becomes so evident that people at higher levels are less tolerant. They're like, we're not playing that game here. We're not doing that. And I've tried to coach two of them, didn't work. They just feel like I was not listening. So they would, and they start pronouncing it. Mm-hmm. They tell everybody they can. Don't you see, if I could just be included, do you know how much value that would add? Right. I mean, it's right. not
don't
always that direct, but it often is.
Don't you know what you're missing by not listening to me?
Correct.
Yeah.
And I've seen that ego destroy a career. Destroy a career here.
Right.
They could have been great. Now, they may be great somewhere else.
Doubtful.
But, what I've seen, those personality types I have seen sometimes can be very effective when they're the only one. Like if they're the department of one, that can be pretty effective because they need to make the decisions. They need to move on down the road. They have the power and control to do what they need to do. And so there are, like we talked about, styles, adapting in leadership. You can have certain personality types and traits that can work better in some environments than others, but they're still going to create a little bit of havoc. You know, they're going to leave stuff in their wake, regardless, because somebody is always impacted by that style negatively, typically.
Show me a leader that's got to be at the tip of the spear for solving every problem versus a leader whose people come to them and say, boss, we encountered this problem and challenge, and it's the first time the boss is hearing about it, and here's what we did about it, and here was the result, and man, it worked like a charm. Mm-hmm. And that latter example, that's a high-performing team. The former, they'll never be a high-performing team.
No.
Because they're really not a team.
There's too much power and control.
No, they've just got a monarch. They got a monarch at the top, you know, who has to touch every single thing.
Right.
The lower, and we know this, we all instinctively know this as workers, because all of us, no matter where we are in our career now, we started out as a worker bee. We all know that whole worker bee mentality, and we all know how much knowledge we gained as being a worker bee. So we're down on the proverbial factory floor. We know what the problem is.
Right.
We know that, man, if the bosses would just change this, we could do so much better.
Yep.
And so if the worker bees can solve it and we don't empower them to solve it, we're missing the boat.
Yeah.
I mean, the lower we can solve these problems, which has nothing to do with authority. It's with getting things done. And I guess for me, that's the big elephant in the room, is I just don't much care about I cared about power and authority in order to drive the accomplishment, because I saw the power and authority hinder the accomplishment, and I wanted to stave that off. And in order to stave that off, I knew I need to be in charge.
Right.
That for me was the only driver. But now it's like, okay, kids, let's figure this out. You know, y'all tell me. Y'all are down there doing the work. I mean, if I'm not on the factory floor, how am I supposed to come up with a solution? Well, you can be arrogant and think that you can, but the lower down everything gets handled and everything gets solved, the better.
We're working on a huge project right now, converting an old 20-year-old HR and payroll system, financing, procurement, everything, and moving to what's called Workday. And
that
it's
sounds
a massive
easy.
Oh, yeah. And I'm
like
over that project. Yeah, I'm over that project citywide because I'm now dating myself. I was also over that project when we implemented from a green screen DOS that you might remember, Randy.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
The young ones listening on this call are what is green screen and DOS?
Yeah.
But for you and I, we know how painful that was and how limited. And we moved into a functional, powerful system at that time.
Mm-hmm.
2-year implementation took a long time, and I was the lead over the HR payroll side of that and IT, basically. Well, moving forward to today, we're now doing that. But one of the things we had to solve for, talking about this power and control, my boss is allowing me to lead that. And I appreciated that because she's like, she's over finance, procurement, audit, budget. She's over all of these things. And she said, this is hard for me to let go. this is really hard. This is a project I'm giving to you, but it's really hard for me. And I said, okay, what do you need from me to make you more comfortable? And I said, my thinking is I will give you in-depth updates each week in our weekly of this particular project to make you more comfortable. And she said, I'm going to need that. You know, I don't need to be in the weed level, yeah, but I need really in depth of any problems, challenges, where we're at, who you're talking, you know, that kind of thing. And so that's what we've sure done, and it's worked well. But her ability to acknowledge that, she didn't have to tell me that, but I appreciated the insight so I can get her what she needs.
Yeah, it's helpful.
Right. To do that. The second thing that has happened as we talked about adapting and not having to have control, I'm the executive sponsor. I'm also in CMO, and I have the authority to make the decisions. I can make the decisions on that project in solo with feedback from my team, because I have an executive committee of five directors beneath me that are on the team on this project. But what I thought about was, you know, they all have different reports, and they're all going to be impacted differently from this system, and they're not going to like some things that are going to happen. They want things their way, the way they've always done it for 20 years.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, we don't want to learn.
So I went to Cheryl and I said, hey, my thinking is I could make this decision, but you're over budget finance. They're going to come to you, even though I've asked them to come to me and let me solve it. And we cannot hold back and stop progress forward for weeks to investigate something. We just aren't going to be able to do that, or it's a change order and our council does not like those. And so I said, I'm thinking about having you on there, and I'd like to include our other deputy city manager, the other number two. And she said, yeah, go ask her. I don't know what her time commitment is. And I loved it when I went to her, and I went to her recently, and I said, hey, I know you're not involved in this ERP at all, but you have departments that are going to be impacted by it. I'd like you on our executive committee. And she said, and I said, and here's why. And she said, well, what do you want? What do you need? And I said, I need you on this committee. This cannot stall. I need us as decision makers. Our city manager values their opinion as number twos. He's talked about it over and over, how strong they
are.
As
he should.
Yes. And I said, I need you to have a voice that he trusts, because I'm still developing the relationship. I've known him a long time.
Right.
But they are his confidants, right?
Yep.
And I said, I need that strength, because when we have a problem, it needs to be thought about. It needs to be urgent. And it needs to be a decision quickly, and we move on down the road, and we have to be lockstep. I just don't want somebody coming to you. And she said, you don't have to say anymore. Put me where you need me. However you need me is where I want to be. And I was like, okay. And it's just that the number twos could have easily said, no, you're not making that decision. Mm-hmm. I'm making the decision. They could have easily gone there, because they have the power and authority to do that.
That's right.
But as a team, how much stronger are we going to be and unified on a project of this scope and magnitude impacting every single user and huge change? And I think those are the types of personalities I'm thankful to have and work with. And I hope many of our leaders and our listeners have the experience similarly, to find that in leadership, that it's not power and control.
Yeah.
It is influence and authority. That
and the magic of this, which people don't believe until they experience it firsthand, but the more you give away, the more you get. It's just one of those magical kinds of things, kind of like compounding interest. I may not understand it, but it's fact. It's mm-hmm. a fact.
It works.
The more you will empower other people and give the authority to other people, the more power and influence you have. It just magnifies itself. And the more you try to hang on to it, the more quickly it slips away from you.
Right. It's interesting.
There's resentment, and there's all kinds of issues that come up in your team. I'm just focused, and this podcast is focused on high performance. Our own individual high performance as leaders and our high performance as a team. And so it's largely about building culture, and a leader who's working from a position where I fear losing my authority and my power is so detrimental to all of that. And you can do that, and you can think, well, this is what I need to do. I've got to protect myself. I hear it from leaders. I heard it just this week, you know, that they're not going to take care of me. I understand that to a point. I get it. I get that the ink on our obituary won't even be dry until there'll be a posting for our job. I understand that. That doesn't mean that our cities and our organizations are impersonal. It doesn't mean that we're not valued. There's just this bigger issue. There's a lot of lives involved. The world can't stop because, you know, I die or I move on or I'm not holding up my end of the bargain. But when we're inside the organization and we're so tight-fisted with it and we're so concerned about our getting credit for it because it's all about us, the more it's all about us, the more you'll find yourself siloed and you won't get the help that you need to succeed. Mm-mm. You will absolutely, you'll be cut from the herd really, really quickly. And that's when you're at risk. It makes no psychological sense to me for people to put themselves on an island like that, thinking that it's going to work out for their best. I just have not seen it work.
No, it's in fact, the more rigid in this particular enemy that drives leaders to be overly authoritarian, rigid, and demanding. I can tell you for a fact in high performing teams, if you are rigid, if you continue to be demanding as a leader, you will no longer have, if it was a high performing team when you got it, like if you're new and you have those traits, it will no longer become a high performing team and you will lose the good ones. Now the C+ performers will stay with you forever. Right?
Yeah, and the D's and the F's, they will too. They'll hang on by the skin.
I mean, they'll just keep doing what you tell them to do.
Yeah.
But the high performing ones are the creative. But the A players are not going to tolerate that. They will, and they won't complain probably. They will just leave. They're just going to get out of there and go to what suits them well, because typically your high performers have high character. They're not going to bash. They're not going to say anything negative. They will just leave and find a better fit for what they value, because they typically work hard to align their values with the organization's values and make sure those match up and align. And if they don't, they're out. You know, the hope is that if you're a strong leader, if you aren't rigid, if you are listening, the more rigid you become, the less you encourage creativity and encourage candid conversations, right? If you're rigid, they're going to be less trustworthy of, if yours is the only opinion that counts, then why would I want to share? I'm just not going to open myself up. Right?
Yep.
That's what I've experienced. And as I mentioned earlier, the higher you go, that will work yourself out of a high performing organization. You will not survive.
Yeah. So as we kind of wrap this up, the seven dangerous enemies of great leadership, we started out with number one, lack of vision. That moved to hesitation, to poor understanding of people, to ego, to need for control, lack of self-development, and this one, the fear of losing authority. So put some final thoughts to this, Lisa. I'll chime in. There's so many enemies to great leadership. And I think, yes, we can come to terms with some of those by just looking in the mirror and through self-reflection. But really at the heart of nearly all of our conversations have been the impact that other people have on us, whether that's a mentor or whether that's people that may be direct reports for us, all kinds of people who can help us see things and question things and answer some things that we just can't do it by ourselves. So for me, that's really the central takeaway. I would say, man, lean hard into that focus on others. And it's not just about being altruistic and being kind and being nice, but it's also for your benefit as a leader. If you're going to grow as a leader, I just don't know any way possible to do that in a vacuum. I don't know how you can do that by yourself, because leadership involves you and it involves other people. And it's always going to be that way.
It is a focus on others. It is doing for others what they cannot do for themselves. And if you cannot, like you said, look in the mirror and evaluate and adapt to things that you yourself need to work on. We have to focus on ourselves as much as we have to focus on others so that we can be the best leader that we can be. And if you don't do that well, you won't achieve the greatness you potentially can. We talked about great leadership. Lastly, if you don't focus on your team and listen to those around you that you trust of where you need to improve, you're not going to get to the highest place that you, the best leader you can possibly be. It takes others and it takes self and it takes your team to get there as a unit.
Thanks for watching and listening to Grow Great, a city government leadership podcast. For Lisa Norris, I'm Randy Cantrell. Be well, do good, grow great. The website is growgreat.com. We'll be right back.